Hello and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, the podcast dedicated to igniting your entrepreneurial spirit and empowering you to conquer new horizons. In this podcast, we chat with inspiring entrepreneurs on their journey to success through some amazingly insightful and expansive conversations. These episodes thrive on thought-provoking chats where our guests fearlessly explore their path to success, sharing their experiences, failures, and triumphs. No topic is off limits as we deep dive into the talked about and not so talked about pieces it takes to build a business, overcome limiting beliefs, deal with personal struggles, and everything in between that shapes our lives and our businesses. I'm your host, Kat Polsonelli, creator and founder at The Lotus Effect, where we believe that success is not just about strategies and tactics, it's about cultivating a powerful mindset and creating customized business operations that align with you and your true purpose. Whether it's mastering time management, improving productivity, enhancing leadership skills, or simply fostering a growth-oriented mindset, we'll provide you with the tools and strategies to flourish in both your business and personal life. I'm so excited to have you join us today in this episode, so get ready to feel empowered and inspired as we learn together and from one another on how to rise above challenges, break through limitations, and unlock our full potential. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me today on this episode of Real Chat with Kat. I am so excited to have you here with us today, and I have an awesome guest. I am so excited for this conversation, so you guys get your pens and paper out and get ready. Nicole Magic, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so excited to have you in the podcast.
My pleasure. It's a great pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Kat.
Oh, thank you. And so do us all a favor as we jump right in and tell everybody, you know, who you are, what it is that you do, and what got you into your space.
Well, my name is Nicole Magic. Yes, that's my last name. I used to be a chemist for over 16 years, and I've also owned my empowerment business for, we're going on 16 years now. So there's a lot of different things that have happened in my growth and development in that. I'm a mom of four, and I help bring people from resistance to resilience and overcome their limiting beliefs so they can step into their authentic self, whether it's for your personal life or for your professional life.
Oh, I love this so much. And that's so crazy because I know you said that, you know, you were a chemist for 16 years. So you started this kind of like right around the same time then. So give me some juicy details and some background. Like how does that even come about? Because I feel like that is such two different worlds, right? Like chemists, that's very logical. There's, you know, there's all this science to it. And don't get me wrong, I understand now that there's a lot of science to mindset and empowerment and what people consider woo-woo. But for those that won't understand that, like how did you make those two connect? How did they mesh?
That's a great question. And that's a very common question when people start really getting into, oh my God, you used to be a chemist. And yes, I was a chemist. I'm a lot older than most people think that I am. So I graduated in 1997 and went into chemistry. And
wow.
When I went into chemistry, so let me just back up a little bit more, because growing up, I was always very intuitive. I could see energy and auras around people, spiritual energy, spirits, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so there was a little bit of stifling of that because of the household that I grew up in, which was very Christian, even though my family is very intuitive. But for some reason, my intuitive gifts were different. They displayed themselves differently. So I was kind of the outcast of that, you know, because I could see energy around people and spirits and that kind of thing versus, you know, just the straight up dreams and visions, which I also had too. Now, moving forward, I started my business in 2008. Actually, April 1st of 2008. And so we're going on, good chunk of years with my business, and it has evolved over time because of different experiences that I've had and be able to bring forward into that business, teaching people about their intuition, healing, facilitation, and my near-death experiences have always amplified those gifts as well. So that's what really got me spiraled into creating that business in 2008, because I had a near-death experience in 2006 that kickstarted everything and amplified all of those intuitive and healing gifts.
And that's so interesting too. So you're not the first person that I've had on the podcast that has talked about these near-death experiences and how it connected them to this intuitive piece inside of them. A little while back, I had a medical intuitive that told me the same thing. So can you give me any type of description of like how does that hit you? How do you know? Especially with a near-death experience, that like when you come out of something like that like this is it, like this is how it's going to be, this is what I am given, and know that that's what you're connected to. And I ask that because I feel like all of us have this intuitive piece, but a lot of us shove it off. Or because we're raised in a religious home, we don't think of it in that at all. And we really like strip ourselves of that power, or it's been stripped of us at a very young age. So can you just give me a little bit of insight of like how you knew that like that was it? Because I feel like there's so many people that are kind of floating in that middle space that like feel it, but don't know how to connect with it, or it doesn't make logical sense. So therefore, there's no way it could be true.
Ooh, okay, yeah. So there's a lot of different things that are in there, and we can pick apart some of those. Because when I was younger, I was very strong-willed. So there was that part of me that I just knew things. So when I was young, even though I was kind of made the black sheep or demonized, basically. I mean, my mom tried to exorcise me a couple times
Oh, wow.
because of these gifts. And it was very interesting about connecting with the energy and the knowing that something inside me, even though I was told that I was wrong or bad or this or that, like whatever meaning I assigned to it. So it wasn't always the exact words that were said to me, but just like everyone else, we assign these meanings when we're young and we don't understand the totality of the situation. There was still something inside me that was like, but if you guys have it and I have it, then why is mine wrong? So I always kind of just disregarded it at least somewhat, even though I still had adopted to a certain degree those negative limiting beliefs. There was a time where, when I would do astral projection, and I learned about it because it kept happening to me. So I made it a point to find out about it, and I had to secretly find out about it and learn about how do I control that, because I couldn't control it. But then when my mom found out that I was doing it, because she found a note, and when I she kept like coming in and creating this anxiety by shaking me out of it. And if you anybody who has done astral projection, when you come back, like snap back out of a shock wave, your whole central nervous system is tweaked out, and you're in this, anxiety-ridden state for a little while because you didn't come back naturally. So there was that, and that kind of stifled. When I had the near-death experience, it amplified everything. And so all through those times, I just kind of kept it to myself, knowing that these gifts were there. And when it amplified with the near-death experience, it wasn't necessarily a straight cut and dry, like this is how it is and I'm going for it. There was a period of time where it was like existential crisis mode. And who the heck am I? And where am I? And what am I doing? And what should I be doing? But then I would just know things, and I was freaking myself out when I looked things up. Like, I don't even know what that is. Or somebody, I remember my son I had to purchase these crystals for whatever reason. And I had this bowl of crystals, and my son was really young. I think he was 2 or 3 at the time. And he said, "Mom, what kind is this? What is this one?" And it was a long day. I was tired. I was like total like mom exhausted mode. And I was sitting on the couch and I just went, "I don't know," right? And I went like this, "I don't know." And I had my hand out and he put it in my hand. And as soon as it touched my hand, I was like, "Oh, that's chrysoprase," and that blah, blah, blah. And I went through all these things. I'm like, "That's a good stone for you. You should keep it." And I was like, "Where did that come from?" And I was trying to even look up on the internet chrysoprase. And I'm like, "How do I spell this? Like, I've never even heard of this before." Right. So it was just a weird experience of relearning the gifts and trusting in myself and all of that. But there was this existential crisis mode that went through that I had to make a lot of decisions on who I was and what I was going to put my energy into and the visions that I was having and what did they mean and who do I tell and, propagating this out into a business was a huge step. I had to prepare myself for the ridicule and the backlash from my family.
And I love, first off, thank you so much for sharing these parts of your story, because I feel like there are so many people out there that can connect with this, right? That can look back in their childhood and be like, oh my gosh, I remember doing that. And, not leaning into that space. And then we basically get kind of taught out of it, right? That it doesn't make sense. It doesn't exist. It's not real. It's woo-woo. But there are so many pieces that you can prove as well. Now, science is even backing a lot of this, that you can say, yes, there are these connections. Yes, there are these energy forces. Yes, stones and different crystals are meant to do certain things, and people can, do different things with their mind. But I have to go back to the beginning, because you said that we assign these beliefs and these feelings. And I have to touch on this one real quick, because so many of us do not realize. I mean, I didn't even realize it until I started going through my healing journey a few years ago, that holy crap, all the things that were told to me, all the things that were repeated to me as a child, not because my parents were doing it on purpose, but it's just because it was their own beliefs. I ingrained that in myself. And because I ingrained that in myself, I missed all of these other things that I innately knew might be a little different or should be a little different. And it's so interesting to see how we as a society nowadays, we lean into everybody else's opinions and everybody else's thoughts and beliefs and words around who we are, who we should be, and who we should not be, that we have completely disconnected ourselves from ourself. It's all these outside things that pull us. And, I've really learned that tuning in and shutting everybody else out really does help. And yes, I will not say that, oh, okay, you just sit down and tune everybody out. And no, it takes a while, right? Like it's not something that happens overnight, but there is, or there needs to be, this teeny tiny little belief of, I do know that something can be different. I don't know if I completely agree with what people are seeing or what they are saying. And then sitting down with that and really feeling into, okay, well, then who am I, or who do I want to be? Or like you said, looking these things up when you realize that you're doing them, or finding the right people that you can have these conversations with, is so beautiful. I 2 years ago, I hired a spiritual mentor, and I didn't even really know that that's what she was at the time. I just knew I absolutely loved like who she was. Like I was so drawn to her and how she lived her life and the things that she was talking about. And I had enough curiosity to be like, you know what? Let's just try it out. But what happened was, is she taught me how to listen to myself. She taught me how to listen to my feelings, to my body and all of that, and be able to connect with that. And it was, I have to say, one of the coolest things I have ever learned, because I was able to open up a world in front of me where what people said didn't affect me the way it used to, or what people thought didn't affect me the way it used to. And I could let go of a lot of the hate and the judgment and the ego that used to rule my life, because I innately knew who I was.
Oh my God. Amen on that. Every last bit of it. It's like, whoa.
I just had to go back to that and just bring that in. So do me a favor then. You know, I would love for you to elaborate a little bit on energy cleansing and seeing auras, because this was a new term to me until like literally a few years ago. And I don't think that it's something that, unless you were like fully submerged into that world, that it doesn't make a lot of sense. I am starting to see it come out a little bit more, but I still think that it's like completely separated from society and what they want us to see. So I'd love for you to dive into and kind of explain what some of that means in your own words.
Yeah, so much fun. I love doing aura readings. I love doing healing sessions and all that stuff. The aura is such this wonderful thing, because it's like your energetic imprint. And it's, you know, like we have fingerprints. You have an energetic imprint that shows itself in this colorful way. So there's a couple things about the aura where I like to touch on, because you have that energetic imprint. So we all vibrate at a very specific vibration, frequency. Our energy is a very specific pattern. And that's what creates our aura, right? We exude this energy.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have a reaction to emotional stimuli that shows up in our aura. So as things affect us, it changes the vibration of our energy, because we're reacting to it. So it's a temporary shift.
Okay.
Okay. So for example, if you were sitting in a room and you had somebody that you haven't seen in a long time walk in that room that you absolutely adore, love hanging around with, so much fun, that person's going to walk in, and as soon as you notice that person, you're going to light up. Your aura is going to get bigger. Your aura is going to shift according to however you perceive that person. So if it's love, you know, that love energy is going to come in, that excitement, however you exude that energy shift, that's what's going to come in, whether it's yellow or pink or whatever the case is. On the flip side, if somebody came in and let's say this person is just this negative energy to you and always demeaning and blah, 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 just not a pleasure to be around at all. That person comes in, you notice that person, you're going to shift according to that, even if it's just very temporary. You'll look at that person, your aura might come in because it's trying to protect itself, but that actually is the inverse of what we could do to protect ourselves. But your aura will automatically come in. It'll get more stressed. You might turn red with it. There's a certain stress red that tends to happen. And that's what'll end up happening. But it's temporary, because let's say that person walks away and maybe your other person enters in. And after a while, you could go back to your baseline state, is what I like to say. So when it comes to the aura, our auras are constantly interacting with the energy around us, the people that we're around. So it's no wonder that when you're around the people that you're with day in and day out, whether it's at work, at home, wherever, their energy is going to have an effect on yours. Right? And what I loved growing up was I'd watch the energy interactions with people, because I see the colors, I feel feelings, and I also see different manifestations of other things, like the stress energies. I also see geometric forms, and I see thought forms. So I can watch people interacting, and it looks like a nice interaction. And I'm sitting there like, where's my popcorn? Because this is a whole other show that's happening that I can see. So I'm watching two shows at once. It's like picture in a picture. And I can see that when people are putting on this facade and their thought form is building and growing and creating this thing. And then you see this thought form will shoot out and hit somebody in the head. And sometimes you'll actually see that person react energetically. They'll have a twitch.
Interesting.
I've watched that happen, and I was able to, this was actually when I was in chemistry, I watched this happen between a person on my team and then a person on somebody else's team. And our two teams worked together very intricately. We did the same thing. So we shared the same three labs, and we just worked on different projects. And when these two were interacting, I was like, whoa, one person created this thought form and slammed this other person with it, even though it was this nice, lovely conversation. And it really wasn't. So I see that stuff interviewing people too. I can see if they're lying, if they're trying to pass something off as theirs and it wasn't. So it was kind of funny because a friend of mine and I used to sit next to each other during the big interviews. And I'd watch energetically, and then I'd sit, so I could stay in my zone, and I would just say to her, okay, this guy's lying about this. This isn't actually his work, but he's trying to pass it off as his work. So ask those questions. So she was really good at digging in at that stuff. And then, you know, you get to the point where somebody can't fool you anymore. And then they have to admit, well, this was my team's work. So, okay, so you're coming in to try to be a team leader, and you're going to try to take all the credit for your previous team. You're not a team player. You're not going to congratulate your team if you're looking to take all the accolades for yourself, right?
Yeah.
So it's like people who say that they're one thing, they can't get away with it with me. Eventually, it unravels. And a lot of times, I'll let things go because I'll see something and I'll just be like, that'll play itself out. I don't need to say anything.
I love this though. Like, so I'm going to geek out just a minute because I'm like, this is such a cool superpower. but I love that you're able to see this, because I do feel like there's a lot of people that kind of already have an idea of a person. Even if you can't see it, you still kind of feel things. I just think that because we aren't taught to trust in ourselves, we just kind of shove it off. So, and I know that anybody out here listening can think back to a time where you knew this was a bad idea, this is a bad person, I probably shouldn't do, like, there is something there and you did it anyway. And then you were like, oh, I knew
better.
Why did
I do that?
Yeah. Like, there is that. And I love that, you know, you talk about, you know, that you, how you are able to see these auras, but you're also able to see how they interact. And, you know, to kind of bring it back to anyone that's like, this is so out of my league. Think about this for this phrase that everybody uses, which is, you are most like the five people that you surround yourself with. Right. And that is such a true statement, that who you are around essentially rubs off on you, and it starts to kind of follow you around. And I think that this is just another way of seeing that you just have this beautiful ability to really be able to see, you know, what a lot of people feel and know. They just don't, for whatever reason, don't have the strength or choose not to get away from that. And it's, to me, it's so unique to really see how this one phrase, it really is all encompassing, and it, what you were talking about is what it means it's just a different perspective, right? It's just a different way of being in that mode. So I just wanted to make a point to everyone that's listening that, you know, it's so important to be aware of who is around you. And that includes family. I hate to say that, but it really does. It does include your family. Who are you around? Who are you surrounding yourself with? Because their energies can drag you down, or their negativity can drag you down. And it really does end up having this a ripple effect around your life as well. And you may not notice it at first because it seems subtle and it seems like it's your own thoughts, but it really does come from all of the people that you're around. So you really have to be aware of that. And the only way, in my opinion, to start being aware of those situations is really being able to be present in the moment with what is going on, what people are saying around you, how they are interacting with other people. You know, I feel like there's a lot of things, and I know I used to do this because, you know, we all want friends, but I would brush off like certain things, right? I'm like, funny joke. And then in my head, I'm like, it wasn't really that funny. That was kind of cruel. But I want to be liked and I want everybody to, you know, I want to be in the circle. So you ignore that. And it wasn't until I really started paying attention to those subtle things, the things that were being said, the jokes that were being made, the way that people judged other people, that I started realizing that, oh my gosh, I'm doing the same thing. And I didn't even realize that I was doing it. So what they are doing is actually really affecting me, not only in a way of, you know, just being with them, but it's rubbing off on me. Essentially, and it's destroying who I want to be, because now it's like I'm kind of merging to kind of be more like them because we want to be liked.
Yeah. So I want to address that, but I also want to go back to those decisions, because and why we make those decisions and say, oh, why did I do that?
Right? Mm-hmm.
Because there's a huge difference between making a protected decision and making an aligned decision. And I was just talking about this yesterday in one of my classes, that when we make an aligned decision, it's aligned with our soul's purpose. It's aligned with our authentic self. And when we make a protected decision, we're making that based off of our beliefs. So that means we're also making that off of our fears. So we're protecting ourselves. So when we try to tap into our intuition, right? So let's say everybody out there, if you're not used to tapping into your intuition, and then you're like, well, let me check with my gut. I go with my gut. So I hear that a lot. And then I'm like, well, how's that working? Right? How has that worked out? Well, sometimes I'm right and sometimes I'm wrong. And I'm like, okay, well, why aren't you always right if you're trusting your gut? I don't know. That's the problem. And so when I start digging in, I know what the problem is. I want to show you what that problem is. And it's not anything wrong with you. It's this. When we say, I'm going to trust my gut. So let's say we have an opportunity to join in on whatever. And maybe you feel, okay, this sounds really good, but then I'm going to check with myself and you go, oh, you know, I'm not really sure. No, I'm not going to do it. And then you're kicking yourself later that I think I should have done that. I think I made the wrong decision. And now you're doubting yourself. The difference between protected decision and aligned decision is this. You want to check with your head, heart, and your gut. And those can lie to you. All three of those can lie to you in different ways, but it all goes back to your beliefs and your fears. And when you're going into that, if you trust in a certain part of you that's saying, oh, no, whether it's your heart, your gut, your mind, and you trust that thing, you have to be able to unravel. Are you basing that off of a fear of something? So if it's in your gut, there's a fear or worry about the future. So if you're worried enough about something is going to play out, you might say no or yes to something that, you know, you should do the opposite of. The aligned decision might be to step outside of your fear and go past it and do that thing. But then you're going to say no because you're protecting yourself from the potential that that won't work out, or I'll be a failure, or whatever your belief system is. If it's in your heart, it's about grief and sadness. So what needs to be let go? And if you're tapping into that, maybe there's something emotional that, well, I don't want to get hurt again. So you make a decision to not do something because you don't want to get hurt. When the aligned decision might be, F this, I'm going for it, regardless of this past trauma, because this is aligned for me. And it's actually going to step me into a space where maybe I'll meet that partner that I'm really aligned with, and it's going to be super amazing, awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
That actually happened to me. And then when we look at the mind, the head, it's about anger and frustration and resentments and all of those things that tell us, like, don't do that. Like, it's just going to be aggravating. It's just going to tick you off or whatever. Like, it's going to be frustrating. But if you step outside of that, it's what needs to be acknowledged and changed. So what needs to be changed is related to anger. And, you know, in the belly area, in the gut area, it's what fear needs to be faced. Right? What do you need to understand? So when you step outside of those things and you ask yourself those and you have this head, heart, gut alignment in making a decision. I actually have a video on it on YouTube. And it's the most wonderful thing because you'll never make a decision that's not aligned.
I love this so much too. It's such a beautiful visual and like breakdown of understanding that, because you're right. Everybody uses the term, and I think it's starting to spread more of like, trust your gut, go with your gut. But at the same time, if you don't understand what any of those underlying emotions are or those feelings might be, then you're not actually trusting your gut or trusting your intuition. You're getting confused between, like you said, those fears or those frustrations or those protective pieces that are kind of coming out as well. And you really have to be able to sit with yourself to decide and understand that. And then it starts to get easier and easier to be able to decipher that, because we're always going to have fears and, you know, protective pieces that come up to stop us anytime that we step into a new zone, anytime we step out of our comfort, anytime we walk into anything that's new. And it is what the body wants to do best, because it does hold on to those old emotions that we have been through. So I love that, you know, you brought up being able to say no, right? Like, screw this, I'm going to go for it. Because, you know, that I feel like is one of the biggest things that I stepped into in my life, was just learning that, like, screw it. It doesn't matter. Yes, this is an old belief. And especially after, you know, 10 years of abuse, it's a conditioning, right? It's a learning, it's a habit, it becomes who you are. And you always have the ability to change that. And a lot of us, I think, don't see that, don't realize it, and don't understand it. Or it scares the shit out of us to the point where we're like, yeah, no, that's okay. I don't want to step into it. Like, and I get it, right? It's not, it should be for everyone, but I understand that it's not for everyone based on what we have been through. You have to be willing to make that choice. And sometimes I do feel like stepping into a new reality or a new being, or stepping into being you more, is one of the scariest things that you will ever do. And it's also one of the most rewarding.
Absolutely. And that is the whole thing why my brand is around authenticity and stepping into who you truly are. Because growing up, I felt like I was stifled. It was the whole, children ought to be seen and not heard. And Nicole, mm-hmm. don't say anything. Don't, you can't talk like that. You can't say things like that. You don't be like that. Don't, like, just don't be you and everybody will be fine. Right.
Yeah.
So I learned how to just go with what was required. And so I became that timid little, the little timid little titmouse in the corner, just quietly eating a piece of cheese, right? Just be there and just watch and just don't, you know, speak when spoken to, all those things. So I was quiet. I was shy. People that know me now are like, you're what? You were what? And I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't talk. I'd be like there. Okay. And then if you talk to me, I'd be like, yep. And then I would just answer the question. Made me a great scientist because when you deal with the FDA, you answer the question, you say nothing more. Right.
Very true.
So that was literally, you know, you follow your little SOP and you don't need to do anything more and definitely don't do anything less. So the whole like analytical side, just being in my head a lot and analyzing data, that's what I did. So I did make a good scientist. And at the same time, as a person, I just wasn't able to be myself. So stepping into that authenticity, it's so rewarding because look, we're all here as individuals and we're here as individuals that make up a collective. So guess what? You get to live your life however the heck that you want it. Yeah, until you're old enough to be out on your own outside of your parents' house, of course, right? Because you have rules to follow. So go ahead, follow those rules and do what you need to do until you get to make fully all of your calls on your own. But you get to live your own life. As an adult, I see so many adults that come to me because their parents are still ruling their lives. And that's not what this is for. You're meant to live your life. That's what free will is. We are given free will so you can make your own decisions, right, wrong, or indifferent. It doesn't matter because nothing that you do is going to derail you from the lessons that you can learn and where you can then pivot to where you want to be because you get to choose that every step of the way. When our parents project things onto us, it's based on their own fears and their beliefs. And when anybody, our friends, family, parents, they project these things onto us because it's their own belief. So when you ask somebody's advice, only you can determine what is aligned for you, which is why I teach that whole thing on making the aligned decisions, because anybody else, we can give advice or make a suggestion or give our opinion based on our own thoughts, our own belief system, and even what we believe is good for you, but only you know innately inside what is. And so you are then responsible for if you value someone's opinion, thoughts, suggestion, you then can take that data and process it. But when you're taking somebody's stuff as divine truth, you're only taking their truth and it may not be your truth. Just like there are a lot of people out there that their parents project onto them. I have a lot of artists and musicians that are also in my clientele that, you know, they've been projected onto the whole starving artist thing. You'll never make money. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never, 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 never. And they have these complexes. And really, they are great musicians, great singers, great songwriters, great artists and painters and all the likes. And because they've been stifled so much as a person, like it comes out in their art and it's great, but as a person to market their art, let's say, all those insecurities come out and they devalue themselves because you'll never amount to anything. You'll never get that much for that. You'll never be able to make a living off of that. And that may have been for the parent because maybe the parent was really good at, you know, finance or accounting or this or that. It doesn't even matter. Yeah. Or maybe they weren't good at it and they had to struggle all their lives because they wanted to be an artist and they were told that they couldn't be that. So it just propagates and you get to choose what you do with your life. So manifest it, create it, and take charge of it because that's really who you are. You've got everything that you need inside of you. And whatever you don't know, all you have to do is ask for it. and it happens.
Like the end. Okay, we're done. End of the episode. I'm not going to say anything. just that right there. No, it's so beautiful, Nicole, you know, and I think that it comes back to, and like you were saying, you know, hearing other people's opinions and valuing them and learning to take what resonates with you and leave what doesn't. And I don't think that we are taught that enough, because we have been taught to think outside of ourselves, to find things outside of ourselves, to Google it, to find the answers. When in fact, there is a lot that you can figure out on your own, or you learned already through past experiences, you just haven't made the connection yet to that. And, you know, to kind of go back to what you were saying is, as far as parents and kind of, you know, their belief systems and what they have taught us and things like that. It isn't, for anyone that's listening, like, it doesn't mean that your parents did it on purpose. Okay. They're not trying to hold you back. Yes. I get that there are some that have another thought process on how things are done, but a lot of times it's out of love and it's out of protecting you from being hurt, because we as parents, and I say this because I did this with my kids, we want you to have a better life than what we were ever able to have. And so we truly and wholeheartedly believe that if we tell you this because it was our experience, we are saving you the pain of having to go through what we went through. And that's it. Again, it comes out of so much love, and you do have to make your own decisions. And I love that you brought this up, that every single one of us are our own individual person, and we are a collective. That's the beauty of being who we are. And I think that more of us need to go back to that, because we as a society have stifled so many beautiful people and these beautiful abilities because we have these invisible expectations out there that people should fit into.
Yeah, and we put these stringent, rigid, you know, bars up around how people should be based on what we think and what our belief system is. And we put these people in different boxes that, you know, good and bad, good and bad. Mm-hmm. And it's not like that. If we just got curious about where someone is coming from, because there are cultural differences, beautiful cultural differences, because if everybody did the same exact thing, so boring. Sorry,
so boring.
I mean, I'm gonna put it this way: everybody eats, and if you just ate hamburgers your entire freaking life, you would be like, "This is boring AF," right? I'll just say it like that. But you just think about, you've got Chinese food and Thai food and Indian food and English food and French and Italian and like all of it. And then just all these other, baklava, you know, come on.
I'm so hungry now.
Right. There's so many wonderful experiences and different cultures use different spice combinations that just like burst in your mouth, right? and create this synergy. And that's really what it comes down to, is we're here to create synergy with people. We're not here to be exactly alike. We're here to explore and be curious and combine and like mix it up so that the synergy is explored. Because what is synergy? It's something greater than the individual parts. The sum is greater than the individual parts. This is science, people, too, right? So exploring that stuff. And when we get curious of, I'm going to get into more Kybalion, like hermetic principles here, too, where when we talk about the opposites, opposites are exactly the same. They're just a different degree. So sorry to break it to you. And I'm only going to say it once like this, because I don't get into these conversations. But when you're talking religion and politics and you're on opposite ends of the spectrum, hey, guess what? You guys are exactly the same. Exactly the same. You're just a different degree. So if we kind of come on into the middle here and you get curious, why is somebody making that decision opposite to my decision? And you start to realize that, whoa, how they were raised or the belief system that they have can be very similar. It's just on a different angle. Yeah. And you're a lot more alike than you think. And you're hating on someone who is just like you. So think about that.
Mind blown. It's so interesting. And it's, when you learn to come from that other side and really actually try to understand people's perspectives, it really is interesting that you're like, oh, well, yeah, I feel the same way. It's just, it was with this thing and not what you're talking about. But okay, that makes total sense. Like, it's so interesting how interconnected we really are. We just don't see it because we use a different scenario, or we use different wording or whatever the case may be. And so we miss it when in reality, it's a lot more closely connected than what we think. So Nicole, I cannot thank you enough for all of this information. Oh my gosh, this has been so much fun. I think we could talk for hours. As we come to a close, one thing I ask all of my guests is, do you happen to have a quote or a piece of advice you'd like to leave the audience with?
I'm going to leave it with this, is I love Nikola Tesla. He's my favorite scientist. And the fact that everything is energy, frequency, and vibration. I want you to think about your life and how your energy, your frequency, your vibration, that whatever it is that you're vibrating at in that frequency and your energy that's being emitted, that's what's being reflected in your life. So if there is something that you don't particularly enjoy and you want to change, really take a look at how that energy is being emitted from you to attract that thing. Because really, it can be the subtlest tweak. And there's nothing wrong with you. I can't tell you how many people have come to me and they're like, there's something wrong with me. Nothing is wrong with you. It's just learning to experience a different and create a different vibration within you that sticks. That's all you have to do to generate whatever it is that you want. So start with something that you could see some kind of shift happening. Very like subtly, and then go for way bigger.
Start small. I love that. Start small. I am all for
get a confirmation.
Starting small. Yeah.
Get a and confirmation. Then build know you can do it. And then go for it.
This has been so amazing, Nicole. Again, I can't thank you enough for being a part of the podcast. So please do us all a favor and tell everybody, you know, how can they find you? How can they connect with you? And how can they be in your world?
I am on Facebook and TikTok and YouTube. So you can look me up through Magic LLC or Nicole Magic. So you can't miss me if you look up either one of those, my name or Magic LLC. My website is magicllc.com. So just like my last name, MAJIKLLC. And my marketplace is at nicolemagic.com.
I love that so much. Again, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your insight and bringing, you know, both this logical and this, you know, mystical piece that people seem to think and really tying them together. I can't thank you enough for that.
Ah, oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
It was a pleasure. And
everybody, make today spectacular.
Thank you so much. And to everybody else out there, don't worry. We'll have all of her information in the show notes. We'll make it super easy for you to be able to find her. You definitely should connect with Nicole, follow her online, check out her YouTube. She is phenomenal and her information is amazing. So until next time, don't forget, do one thing positive for someone each and every day and see the difference that it makes in your life. So until next time, have a fantastic day. Hello again, and thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. If you enjoyed this episode and it brought tons of value, we ask that you please share, like, and subscribe.
Your support means the world to us and helps us to reach even more inspiring entrepreneurs who can benefit from these powerful conversations. If you haven't already, be sure to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform, as this feedback is an amazing gift that fuels our growth and helps us to continually improve this podcast. Looking for an extra dose of inspiration and empowerment? Then be sure to connect with me on social media. You can find me at The Lotus Effect, where I share valuable resources and tips while sharing my own journey of being an entrepreneur. And if you're interested in learning more about my coaching programs and services, be sure to check out my website at the-lotus-effect.com. Once again, thank you so much for being a part of Real Chat with Kat. Your presence and support makes all the difference. Remember, whether you find yourself in the depths of the mud or on the path of growth, we all have a unique journey. And just like the lotus, some of us start in the dirtiest of mud, yet as we rise and grow, we blossom into something beautiful, unique, and truly one of a kind. To all of my visionaries out there, keep rising and growing as you create your own Lotus Effect.